Okay, we'll start him momentarily.
Are they okay?
Are they recorded? Okay, thank you for coming today. Tana Rabbana. The Gemara here on Daf Yud Gimel Amud Aleph quotes three shittas in the Tanoim as far as Kavana in Kriyat Shema is concerned. So let's go through the Braisa and the three shittos. According to the first shita, which is based on the Parsha in Dvarim Vav, V'hayu ha-dvarim ha-eila asher anochi mitzavcha yom al levavecha, and first of all, the drasha v'hayu, shelo yikol mafreya, that's not for us today, but alevavecha. So it says alevavecha, and that means that you need a kavana alevavecha on your heart. Yochel, I might think, tehei kol ha-parsha tzricha kavana, maybe the entire first parsha needs kavana, Talmud Lomar, but the pasuk says, V'hoyu hadvarim, it says ha'ela. The extra word ha'ela is a mute. Ad kan, it means until it says alev havecha at the end of this pasuk is tzricha kavana. Mikan v'elech ein tzricha kavana. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer needs kavana until the end of the pasuk of alev havecha. Amalo Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva disagrees, and he's under a different opinion. His opinion is that Hareyu Omer, the pasuk says, "V'ayu advar ma'ila asher anochi mitzavcha hayom alev avecha," and he understands that alev avecha means the entire hemshech, the continuation of this parsha. And that should all be alev avecha. Mikana talamed shekol parsha kula tzricha kavana. The entire parsha needs kavana. Those are the two opinions that are quoted here. Please note that Tosfos points out that the word ha'ela, according to Rabbi Akiva, is a mute. And as Rabbi Akiva does not deny that ha'ela is a mute. But the miyud here is that we don't need kavana for parsha shniya. Okay, that's what we have here in this braisa. Now, if you fast forward later on, the Gemara quotes the shita of Rabbi Meir. What is Rabbi Meir's shita? Rabbi Meir says that you only need Tana Rabbanan. You only need on kavana for pasuk rishon, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Ad kan tzricha kavana salev, divrei Rabbi Meir. How do we paskin in this three-way machlokas? So, if you take a look at the beginning of the sugya, Amar Rabba Barachana Rabbi Yochanan Alocha Ki Rabbi Akiva, which means the entire first parsha needs kavana. But if you take a look at the end of the sugya, Omar Rava Halacha Kirabi Meir, it means you only need kavan in the first pasuk. And in between Rabbi Meir, who's the most mekil, and Rabbi Akiva, who's the most machber, we have the middle sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, and he holds that you need kavana up until Alev Avecha. That's all.
Rabbi, yeah. Clarify with him. When you say kavana, what are you referring to?
Right now, let's assume that kavana means pirush hamilos, just to make life easy for ourselves. We're going to change that very, very soon.
Fine. All right.
So in any event, I'm wondering about these three shitos. Again, what are they arguing about? I mean, I know what they're arguing about, but what is the yesod, what is the fundamental issue or root of this controversy? Each one quotes a pasuk to prove his shita, but at the end of the day, they seem to be arguing about Kriyat Shema, the nature of Kavan of Kriyat Shema. How does the Rambam paskin? I think we've seen this in the past. Let's see it again. The Rambam in Perek Beis Halach Alf Milchus Kriyat Shema paskins Hakore Eshma Velo Kiven Libo Bepasuk Rishon Shehu Shma Yisrael Lo Yatza Yedei Chovasa Vashar. But beyond the Pasuk Rishon Im Lo Kiven Libo Yatza. And this would seem to, as the Kesef Mishnah point out, that the Rambam paskins like whom? Like Rabbi Meir. You only need kavana in the first pasuk. However, Abosai, this leads me to a question. The Rambam back in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis tells me what are the essential elements in the first parash of Kriyat Shema. And can anybody tell me how many elements the Rambam isolates?
Three.
Correct. Let's go through the three of them. The Rambam says in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis, Makdimim Likros Parsha Shema. Although all three parshias are required min haTorah, Parsha Shema comes first. What does Parsha Shema, the first parsha, have in it? Number one, he says, "Mipnei Shav Yesh Ba Yichud Hashem, Hashem Elkeinu Hashem Echad." Number two, in the next pasuk, it says, "Vi'ahavtas Hashem Elokecha," which is Ava. And number three, in the next pasuk, it says, "Vishinantam Levanecha Dibartabam." And such and such. So that Rambam says is Talmudo, and then the Rambam waxes very dramatic here about the third element, namely Talmud. Then he goes on to say that the second parasha has a different element in it, and that's what we call Kabbalas Mitzvos, all mitzvos. So now I have the following question. If the Rambam is isolating three elements that define the essence of Kriyat Shema, at least as far as the first parasha is concerned, wouldn't it make sense, therefore, that a person should be required to have kavan on all these three elements?
Like Rabbi Akiva.
Meaning, the Rambam in Perek Aleph Halacha Beis would seem to reflect the sheet of Rabbi Akiva, that all of the first parasha, which contains in it both Yichud Hashem and Avas Hashem, and then the third element of Talmud, that should be the requirement of kavana. Meaning, if you're only going to have kavana for the first pasuk, like Rabbi Meir, then okay, you've covered your ground as far as Yichud Hashem. If you're going to require, like Rabbi Eliezer, that you have to have kavana all the way to B'chol Levavcha, which means V'yahavtas Hashem Elokecha, then you've touched base as far as Avas Hashem is concerned. If you've required kavana the entire first parasha, like Rabbi Akiva, then you've covered your bases not only as far as Yichud Hashem and as far as Avas Hashem, but also as far as Talmud. So that the Rambam should really be consistent here, and having established in Perek Aleph that these three elements make up the backbone, the essence of Kabbalas Omach L'Shamayim, of Kriyat Shema, then consistently in Perek Beis, when he describes and defines the Kavana element and how much a requirement you have a Kavana, we would have anticipated that the Rambam would have been consistent and required Kavana in the entire first parasha, which contains all these three elements. And to our surprise, the Rambam has the kavana in the first pasuk, like Rabbi Meir, as the prerequisite that's indispensable, that's required, which contains within it certainly Yichud Hashem, but yet he doesn't require kavana in the balance of the parasha, leaving out then two very major central elements that make up the first parasha, namely Avas Hashem and Talmud. That's the question that I want to ask for today. Now, I found something very interesting. I photocopied it for you. I just found it, mamish, in the last few minutes. In Rav Soloveitchik has a sefer called, if you could pass this around, Shi'urim L'Zecher Abba Mori, which I've mentioned to you many times in the past. But this particular section, I've never seen. And it is a yahrzeit shiur that he gave for his father's yahrzeit many, many moons ago. And I'm going to try to isolate or pinpoint, if you will, certain elements in the Chiddush, in the very creative way that Rav Soloveitchik presents his thesis, his breakthrough. And I think that he's very much influenced by the Rambam, as he always is. So it's not a surprise. Now, he mentions the Braisa, our Braisa here on Yud Gimel and Alf Yud Gimel Beis, that records the three Shitos in the Tanoim. I'm not exactly sure why he calls it a Mishnah. I didn't see it in the Mishnah. I only saw these three Shitos in the Braisa. I'm not sure if that's some sort of error. I don't know. And he finds that in these three Shitos, we can really isolate the three elements that the Rambam, as we saw in Perek Alef Halacha Beis, delineates or enumerates as the essence, the backbone of Kriyat Shema. And that is Yichud in Pasuk Rishon. This is about three lines down from the top of your right column. Avas Hashem in the second Pasuk, which is V'ahavta. And Talmudo, which is the third element of Kriyat Shema and reflects itself in the third Pasuk of Vayu Advar Ma'ela. Well, I'm not sure about that. Again, if I were to take the Shita from Rabbi Meir, I would say the answer to your question is yes. Then Yichud Hashem in the first Pasuk equals Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. But I have two questions to ask then. Number one, the Rambam requires these three elements, not only Yichud Hashem, but also Avas Hashem, and also Talmudo. Therefore, the Rambam, this is my next point to you, should require Kavana not just in the first Pasuk reflecting Yichud Hashem, but in the second Pasuk reflecting Avas Hashem, and in the third Pasuk reflecting Talmudo.
I'm asking something different. I'm asking.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Maybe I misunderstood your question.
Yichud.
Yeah.
The same concept of Kavana, Mashmaim, was that different nuances.
So I think that's what forgive me, but whether or not when Rabbi Kiva says you need the whole parasha, is he saying because Kavana Sol Malchus Shemayim requires those three elements, or he agrees Kavana Sol Malchus Shemayim is just equal?
And
there's another requirement for Kavana, not requiring Kavana.
So what I'm suggesting here, if I read the Rav correctly, again, this is not, you know, the only way of going. I'm not saying, but just in terms of this presentation, you have three psukim, and each one of these three psukim, respectively, reflects each one of the three elements that form the essence of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. So therefore, if I were to limit myself to the first pasuk, which Rav Meir seems to do as far as requiring kavan in the first pasuk, then what I've achieved, and I have in my back pocket, is Yichud Hashem. If, on the other hand, I require kavana not only in the first pasuk, but in the second pasuk as well, that's Rabbi Eliezer Shita, then I've achieved Kabbalas Olmach Shemayim, not only expressing itself in Yichud Hashem, but Kabbalas Olmach Shemayim has expressed itself in Avas Hashem as well. If I go the step beyond that to Rabbi Akiva, requiring kavana in the first three pasukim, which makes up Parsha Rishona, then I've also achieved Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim besides Yichud Hashem and Avas Hashem, but Talmudo as well. And therefore, I would have anticipated that the Rambam, since he adopts the position of Rabbi Meir, should limit, as he does Kavana, Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim to Yichud Hashem. And yet the Rambam clearly delineates that the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim of the first parasha, before he gets to the second parasha, which is Kabbalas Mitzvahs, reflects itself in three elements, and unless you express all three elements, you haven't achieved the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim that defines the first parasha of Kriyat Shema. And therefore I'm left with a very, very strange contradiction, if you will, between the Rambam in Perek Aleph Milchus Kriyat Shema and Perek Beis Milchus Kriyat Shema. And the Rav first formulates the following. He says, Yeshnam tlosa mandiyamrim hacholkin b'shir kriyas kukula kavana. There are three opinions that debate how far I have to go in my requirement of kavana. At heichan tzarech l'chaven, Rabbi Akiva requires kavana in all three dimensions of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, which is basically the first parash of Kriyat Shema. That means Kabbalah Shemayim al yidei yichudo, avaso v'talmudo. Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, requires a kavana only with regard to yichud and ava, and Rabbi Meir only requires kavana with regard to yichud. And here the Rav says the following. Baram, however, kulam modim sheyeshnam b'kriyat shma shlosha kiyumim shel kabolas ol malchus shamayim. Pasuk rishon is kabolas shamayim sheyichud. Pasuk sheni kabolas ol malchus shamayim al yidei ava. In the rest of the parash, the remaining, the balance of the parash, the first parash is kabolas ol malchus shamayim al yidei talmud. And therefore, he says, wait a minute, if all three Tanoim unanimously agree that Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim requires these three elements, and that's what the Rambam codifies in Perek Beis Mihilchus Kriyat Shema, then what is the machlokas between Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Meir? Not in that order, but Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva. And I think that the Rav's answer to this question is, and here I underlined it towards the bottom of your page, he says, Yesh shlosha minei chaluyos shal kabolas ol malchus shamayim b'kriyas parasha rishona, the af ledidan haposkim halacha kirabi meir, shirak b'posuk rishon tzar kavana, even Rabbi Meir agrees to this position, he adopts this position that there are three elements that make up the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim of the first parash of Kriyat Shema. Nevertheless, paradoxically, Rabbi Meir only requires Kavana in the first Pasuk. How could that be? He says that even Lididan Kachros Rava Bibrachas Yud Gimel Amid Beis, again, he says Hamishnah. I think it's a brisa. Brisa shel chiluk chaluyos kabbalas ol malchus shamayim l'tlosa anfin bi'ena omedes v'lo zaza b'mkoma. Even though Rava accepts the shita of Rabbi Meir, and that's what we saw in the Rambam in Perek Beis Milchus Kriyat Shema, nevertheless, the threefold distinction that's established by the Braisa, indicating the three elements of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, still be'eino medes, it still stands in its place, we're not undermining that. Ella, but what does it mean according to Rabbi Akiva? Naktinon ki al yidei kavanas yichud b'posuk rishon anu yotzim yidei chovas kavana shel ava v'talmud v'lo tzrichim l'masa kavana miyuchedes. Okay, now he's going to explain himself in just a minute, but let's just try to understand the methodology that he's applying here. He's not willing to accept, as you and I would have said intuitively, that according to Rabbi Meir, there's only one central motif or one critical element in Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, namely Yichud Hashem. That he's not willing to accept. He wants to rather assume that all three Tanoim universally, unanimously, accept that there are three elements in Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. And that explains the Rambam in Perek Aleph Milchus Kriyat Shema, right, who formulates all three elements of Yichud, Ava, and Talmud. But nevertheless, Rabbi Meir insists that all you need for Kavana, the only requirement of Kavana, is in Pasuk Rishon. So all three Tanoim adopt the same identical shita that we need three elements or dimensions in Kavol Somach L'Shamayim. The machlokas is how far does the requirement of Kavana go? Can I fulfill my requirement of Kavana by reciting the first pasuk with Kavana? Do I need also the second pasuk with Kavana? Do I need all three psukim with Kavana? How does this fit in? How could you say on the one hand that you require all three elements in order to achieve Kabbalah Sol Malkashmaim, and at the same time, your Kavanah is limited to the first Pasuk, which is only Yichud Hashem? And if you read this carefully, I would underline two words in this presentation up until the we're up until the second of the last line on the page, with Pirush HaDavar. You with me?
Yes.
What are the two words that I'd love you to bold, right? To highlight, I guess would be the word. You see, again, if you count up from the bottom of the page, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines up from the bottom of the page, do you see the word chaluyos? Mm-hmm. Okay, so please highlight that word. And then, if you take a look at three lines up from the bottom of the page, the last word in the line is masa. If you could highlight that word. And I would say the following, that Rav Soloveitchik is using a classical brisket tool, and that is the distinction between masa and chalos. Let me try to explain what I think that means. Again, I spent many years of my life trying to decipher this kind of conceptual distinction or substructure. There is a world of reality, and then there's a world of halachic reality. And they're two different worlds. We would differentiate between mitzias and din. That's the way in the classical yeshiva world they would make this distinction. I mean, the Rav is, I don't know why he's allergic, but anything that's classic, he's allergic to. So that's a different issue, you know, which touches on that discussion about the Mishnah Berurah. But okay, so again, the Rav can't tolerate that language, but I think essentially, in substance, it's the same distinction. Yechiel, are you with me on this?
Absolutely.
I don't know what you're doing over there.
I'm
you're
just copying this into my thing. So I have
okay. Very beautiful. Okay. I never know when you're on the computer what you're doing. You know.
We'll put a little camera right here. So
you can... Okay, it's okay. We're not going to treat you like 18-year-olds. You know. So it goes like this. If I could wax a little bit dramatic here, there are two universes. There's the universe as we know it, you know, hardcore, mitzius, reality, you know, concrete. And then there's the universe of halacha. And the first universe is called maaseh, and the second is called chalos. It means that what I do in a physical sense, in mitzius, which is a reality, is not necessarily what registers as the chalos. And it means the following, in our context, that Rabbi Meir says that kavana works within the relationship in the universe of masa. But there's another universe out there called chalos. Says Rabbi Meir, true, in the world of chalos, my Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim must register. You have to check off three different boxes. Again, Yichud Hashem, Avas Hashem, and Talmudo. Otherwise, I don't have a complete Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim. Rabbi Meir never denied that. But Rabbi Meir says, as far as my Maisa Kavanah is concerned, the way I implement Kavanah, all I have to think about in my mind, you know, if you would do a psychiatric study of what's in my brain, is Yichud Hashem. And therefore the Kavanah, which is called the Maisa, belongs and is exhausted and is completely fulfilled by the first pasuk of Shema Yisrael. But if you ask me al Pidin, how does the halacha register? How have I registered my halacha? Excuse me, my kabbalah sol malchus shmaim in the chalos of kavana. The answer is not just the first pasuk, but the second pasuk and the third pasuk as well.
What does that mean? You're saying that, according to Reb Meir, even though you're going to say the next two parshas after that, or you're going to say Yahavta Noya, do you have to, in the first pasuk, have Kavana also for Ava and Talmud?
I don't know the answer to that question, Alan. I was also very curious about this, but I think that there may be a word on the next page. You see page Chaf Gimel? Take a look in the second line and highlight the word koleles. Do you see that word koleles? That might answer your question. I'm not sure. So let's read the next few words.
Isn't there a difference between these three elements? That yichud is really can only accomplish the kavana, but the ava maybe you can do more b'maisa, and talmud you can definitely do by learning. The yichud is really theological kavana. Maybe you can put
it in practice. Yichud you're doing now when you're reading the Shema. The other two, you're going to do during the day, later on. You're just reminding yourself in the Shema, that's what you have to do. But you're not.
Right. But Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shmaim means I'm making a commitment. What is the nature of my commitment? So Rabbi Meir says, my commitment has to be a commitment to Hashem's Achdus, the unity of God. Once I've made that commitment in my mind, which I do when I read the first pasuk, I was Yotze Yidei Chovas Kabbalas O Malchus Shamayim. Okay? Rabbi Eliezer, on the other hand, says, no. In order to make that commitment, I have to make a commitment that includes not just the oneness, the unity of God, but also a commitment to my love of God. And Rabbi Akiva says that it's not sufficient that I make a commitment to the unity of God and the love of God, I have to make a commitment to study the Torah of God. There's got to be a threefold commitment. That's all as far as the Maisa Kavana is concerned. And we have three shitos and a three-way machlokas. But don't fool yourself. There is absolutely no machlokas. Everyone universally accepts the principle that Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim needs all three. The only question is, what Maisa Kavana do I have to have? Rabbi Meir requires a Maisa Kavana for Yichud Hashem, and Memela, what's Chal, is a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim that incorporates not just Yichud Hashem, but expands and includes even Avas Hashem. And Talmud, though Rabbi Eliezer says my Maisa Kavana has to be related not just to Avas, not just to Yichud Hashem, but also to Avas Hashem, and Memela, the Kavana is Chal as a Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim for Talmudo. And Rabbi Akiva says that since there are three Chalosim of Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim, I need three Maisa Kavanas. And I have to have a Kavana not just for Yichud Hashem and Avas Hashem, as Rabbi Eliezer would have it, but even for Talmudo. Now, just 1 minute. So Alan asks me, does Rabbi Meir believe that when I have a Maisa Kavana for Yichud Hashem, that Maisa Kavana includes within it Avas Hashem and Talmudo as well? So that's why I wanted to read the next few lines. Ubeperish hadavar nire ki plukta satanoim eina soveves schar schar lashelas tzorech kavana dahainu im yesh chalos kavana bichal perek B'chol haperek, o b'pasuk sheni, ki im b'kiyum kavana. So basically here, Rav Soloveitchik is differentiating between the kiyum kavana and the chalos kavana.
Kiyum kavana is another word for maisa.
For maisa kavana, correct. The kiyum means the implementation. How do I achieve that chalos kavana? That's what they're arguing. There's a technical machlokas, so to speak. It's a secondary machlokas. In the primary realm of chalos kavana, everyone agrees that I need a chalos kavana for the first pasuk, the second pasuk, and the third pasuk, for all the perek.
Right.
But the machlokas is, how do I achieve that chalos kavana? What are the requirements befall, as I say, befall meaning in the world of action and thought? What kiyum, how does the kiyum of the chalos, how is it achieved? Im kavanas pasuk rishon, chala umitztarefes legabe pasuk sheni v'yeser ha-parsha. Can we postulate, this is Rav Meir Shita, that the kavana, meaning the maisa kavana, of pasuk rishon, even though it's limited to what? To yichra Hashem, creates a chalos that's related to the second pasuk and the third pasuk. So the maisa kavana on the first pasuk engenders a chalos kavana as far as the second and third pasukim. Rabbi Meir Sover, ki kavanas yichud koleles umakifa kolakavanas. And this, I think, is one way of answering your question, Alan. I'm not 100% convinced that that's what Rav Soloveitchik really, really had in mind, but the words seem to say it, that somehow, you know, if I would say it in if I could use a little Yiddish, yeah, my Yiddish is very rudimentary, but what Rav Meir is saying, according to the Rav's second line here, is the following. Vos licht in dem Yichud Hashem. What inheres in Yichud Hashem? In Yichud Hashem, inherently, there's also Avaso and Talmudo. As if to say it's impossible to accept upon oneself the unity of God without accepting upon oneself the love of God and the commitment to study His will as it's embodied in His Torah, His wisdom and His Torah. I don't know, to my mind, that requires a theological work, probably the size of, I don't know if you're familiar with some of the Rav's writings, you know, Halachic Man or The Lonely Man of Faith. That requires an entire theological project. I'm not here to try to claim that I can understand that or present that to you. But just on a level of the Halachic mechanics, if you will, you know, the physics of Halacha, Rabbi Meir's Chiddush is, although in Chalos I must achieve all three elements, and therefore my Kavana has to relate to all three elements, I have to touch all three bases, but nevertheless, in terms of my actual physical Kavana as a Maisa in the world or in the universe of action, all I have to think about is Yichud Hashem. Umemela, b'v'yahavta u'b'shara perek, as an automatic result of my Maisa Kavana, on what? On Yichud Hashem, there's a Chalos Kavana on Avas Hashem and the entire balance of the Parsha, which includes also Talmud. U'mekavel ol Malchus Shamayim al Yoda, through the Kavana, the Maisa Kavana, on what? On Yichud Hashem, I have automatically achieved a Chalos Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shamayim on Avas Hashem and Talmud as well. Whose sheet is that? Whose sheet is that, Rabbi Osai? Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Eliezer Omer. She'ein Kavanas Yichud Koleles Kavanas Ava. In other words, the Maisa Kavana on Yichud Hashem, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is not capable, doesn't have the power to engender a chalos on Avas Hashem. I need a Maisa Kavana not only on Yichud Hashem, but I need a Maisa Kavana specifically on Avas Hashem as well. And therefore I need Kavana on Pasuk Sheni. Then we get to the Shita of Rabbi Akiva. Usfaras Rabbi Akiva hi, ki ein Kavana achas, mimala, makom, lechavrita, uzkuka anu lishloshes hakavanos, the Maisa Kavana has to touch all three kavanos, all three chalosim. There's no such thing as an automatic ipso facto chalos that somehow is engendered, abracadabra. There's no such thing. Rabbi Akiva requires a maisa kavana on A, on B, and on C. Yeah, go ahead.
I'm more technical about the word chaliyut.
Right.
I understand we're using it as a verb, like it's
chalos is a noun.
It's a noun.
Noun, correct.
Because
It chalos is the halachic result of a maisa. Like, for example, if there's a woman here, and I say areat mekudesh asli betabazu, the maisa kedushin is when I give her the tabas in her hand. The chalos kedushin is that she now becomes an eish esish.
Like an application, applicable.
A result, I would say. That's the word I would use.
The reason I'm thinking, because in the army, when I was in the army, you had a group of three people, it's called a chuliyah. Anything of three hasn't.
That's a different word entirely. Yeah, that's a different word
according
entirely.
According to a mayor, I mean, according to all of them, there is obviously a mitzvah, you're right, so that's
chalos really means a change of status, a halachic change of status. That's really what a chalos is. Chalos issues, chalos kinyan, chalos nesuin. A chalos means a new status. In mitzvos, we very rarely use the word chalos. That's not usually a brisker, terminology. The Rav is breaking new ground here by saying that within the context of the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, there's a Maisa mitzvah and a Chalos mitzvah. Later on, he changes it a little bit and he uses the word Kiyum mitzvah, because the word Kiyum in mitzvahs is an exact parallel to Chalos in Kinyon.
There's clearly a mitzvah of saying Krishna, and there's a separate element of there's a mitzvah to be mekabel omach shemar. Is that a fair statement to start with? Can I say there's an nachkamin between the three mandiyamim here, that if Ramaisa something happened that after saying the first pasuk of Krishna I'm going to a mayor, he couldn't finish the rest. Nothing happened. I don't know what happened. He had to run through
the right.
So he did say, so he wasn't the only saying this is a Krishna to say the three parashas. But at this point, according to what I'm understanding, even though he hasn't said Vyahafta, he hasn't said, the Torah part, nevertheless, he may have said enough to be able to say the mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Not so for Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Akiva. You have to actually myself say it.
So Yechiel, can I cut you off for a minute? Let me try to reformulate what you're saying and tell me if this is what you're saying. There are two dimensions to Kriyat Shema. One is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and the other is Kriya. And if I understand what you're saying is, there is no machlokas about the fact that you need to read all three parashas. Nobody is saying that, according to Rabbi Meir, if after he says Shema Yisrael, Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, he flips out, that therefore he was Mekayim the mitzvah. There is a continuous mitzvah way beyond the first pasuk, even according to Rabbi Meir, of reading all three parashas, and that's called Kriya. However, with regard to the context of the kiyum of that dimension, namely Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, that's where Rabbi Meir says it's enough to have that kavan in the first pasuk. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, but I'm saying, but in terms of the practicality, if he didn't say anything more than the first pasuk,
right?
According to Rabbi Meir, was a yotzei Kabbalah Sol Malchus
Shemayim. That's going to be in Mirtz Hashem the second half of today's discussion, if we get to it. And that's going to be, I don't know if you got a chance to look at the sugya of Shena, where a man is falling asleep, and the question is going to be when we have to wake him up. And the Rambam has a very unique shita about when we have to wake him up and how much he absolutely must recite. We're also going to have the shita of Rabbi Yehuda Nasi. The Rabbi Yehuda Nasi would only recite the first pasuk, and that was his Kriyat Shema. So that's why I say, Yechiel, on one level, everything you said is 100% correct. And in pure theory, there are two dimensions of Kriyat Shema, one of which is the Kriya itself. Forget about Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. I must read all three parshas. Correct?
Yes.
But I'm just pointing out to you, just to anticipate what's coming around the bend,
right.
Zelo Pashut.
And I'm not going to ask it again, but just to the rationale behind my question is whether the idea that I had my Kavana once by Yichud Hashem, and then it carries me through,
right.
But does the carrying through still require a Kriya without Kavana of the other two?
Pashas, yes, that's what we're saying now. That the Kriya itself will also facilitate. Let's say, for example, according to Rabbi Meir, let's talk about Parsha Rishona for a minute. Just forget about the second two parashas in Krishna. Rabbi Meir, in the first parasha, would say the following. That's what we're holding now. That there are two dimensions to Kriyat Shema. There's one dimension called Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, and there's another dimension of Kriya. The Kriya will facilitate the ability to take the Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim kavan of the first pasuk and stretch it and extend it to include the entire first parasha. But you must have that Kriya. If you don't have the kriya, then how can we go beyond the first pasuk and say that, you know what, the chalos is chal on the second pasuk and on the third pasuk? He never even recited the second pasuk. He never even recited the third pasuk. Okay. But keep in mind, as we go through this, that one could argue otherwise. That in the theoretical world, if you're telling me that there are three dimensions to Kabbalah, Sol, Malchus, Shemai, three elements, and through kavana on yichud, I can have a chalos kavana on all three elements, then maybe I don't even need the kriya of the rest of the parsha. That is a theoretical possibility that I think is going to open up new vistas for the entire sugya that we want to study today.
Can you take even further? I'm set, sorry.
Yeah, just that Alan was raising his hand before and
before the shiur started.
Yeah.
I just wanted to explore the possibility that maybe Reb Meir is saying that it's possible. Reb Meir is saying in Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim, in the words themselves, when you're in the Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shamayim, you are saying, so to speak, in vernacular, you're the boss. Everything you say is required of me.
Right. That would be the Kolelis here. That submit, God, if everything is you, and I submit to you, you know,
submit to all your
I don't exist, and this and that.
Okay,
so that could be the theological key here to the word Kolelis.
But then, in the next two parshas, what happens, what you're doing, is you are saying Rachel Bita Aknana. You're basically fleshing out. You're not broadening what you said. You are specifying what you meant by everything that you commanded me, I submit to. What
correct.
Is everything commanded me? All Torah, all mitzvot.
But Alan, everything you say is excellent, but just keep in mind one possibility here, that Kabbalah Sol Mitzvahs in the second parasha is another dimension of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Or for example, the way Reb Chaim said in the third parasha of Vayomer, Yitzias Mitzrayim is another element of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. Wait a minute.
Yeah, okay.
Why do I say this? What I mean to draw, what I want to drive at here is that in Reb Meir's frame of reference, where the Maisa Kavana was only on the first pasuk, it could be the Chalos Kabbalah is related not only to elements B and C, namely Ava and Talmud, but even to Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs and even to Yitzias Mitzrayim.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And
there may be five elements in Kabbalah's Ol Mitzvahs. Right? We're only focusing on the three of the first parasha. The second parasha engenders a fourth element, and the third parasha engenders a fifth element, and we might have five elements.
Right. So what I wanted to say is Kumsayit, that Reb Meir, which seems like he's the Makil here, that he's saying this is the minimum you have to do. In fact, Reb Meir is the Machmir, because by submitting that everything falls under the category
I wouldn't agree with you, Alan, because again, Rabbi Eliezer is saying that I have to have a kavana mefureshes for Avas Hashem. Rabbi Akiva is saying I have to have a kavana mefureshes for the Talmudo, and therefore whatever Rabbi Meir includes in Yichud Hashem, the other Tanoim are going to have to require it as a specific Kavana. So at the end of the day, I can't see Rabbi Meir as being Machmir in any sense.
You know, in other words, let's say we get beyond, if we get beyond all mitzvahs, we get, what about Mrs. Darabonin?
Oh, I don't know. My brain is not on this.
So all I'm trying to say is that Rabbi Meir says if you are makdish in anything that falls under the rubrum of Torah, which includes also.
But why do you point your finger at Rabbi Meir? I don't understand.
No,
Rabbi Eliezer requires a kavana for Avas Hashem. Rabbi Akiva requires a kavana for Talmudo. Why shouldn't Avas Hashem include Mitzvah Darabonin? Why shouldn't Talmudo include Mitzvah Darabonin? Okay, so I don't know. That I don't know. Now you're sending me off on a whole different journey. Daniel?
Yeah, my question is on the same matter.
Yeah, all right. All right, we're not giving out grades today here. Okay. Okay.
That's right, I don't know.
All right. So Rabbi Moshe, I was quite fascinated by this breakthrough here, in which the Rav really reconciles the two Rambams that we presented as contradicting one or the other. Let's just quickly review. On the one hand, the Rambam in Perek Beis says like the halacha is like Rebbe Yolini Kavana in Pasuk Rishon. On the other hand, the Rambam in Perek Aleph in his in his magnanimous, magnificent introduction, you know, bombastic introduction to what Kriyat Shema is all about, at least as far as Parashat Rishona, and the Rambam delineates three different elements, only one of which is reflected in the first pasuk. How do we reconcile that? The answer is that even Rabbi Meir is that discussion of Rabbi Meir is only as far as the Maisa Kavon is concerned. But in terms of the way Kavon is Chal, Rabbi Meir agrees that you need all three elements. So what the Rambam writes in Perek Aleph is not a contradiction to what he writes in Perek Beis. Good? That we have with this distinction about Maisa and Chalos. I thought perhaps, based on this Chiddush of the Rav, we might shed a light on the second Braisa. Take a look again on the first source on your page. There's a middle Braisa here. Right? There are actually three Braisas on your page, but let's take a look at the middle Braisa. The middle Braisa darshins Aleph Avecha and records a machlokus between Rav Zutra and Rav Yoshia. Rav Zutra says, Ad kan mitzvahs kavona, mikan vielech mitzvahs kriya. Rav Yoshia Omer, Ad kan mitzvahs kriya, mikan vielech mitzvahs kavona. And perhaps what we're saying here is that according to Rav Zutra, the balance of Kriyat Shema is kriya and only kriya, meaning the beginning of Kriyat Shema. And again, where that could be subdivided into the requirement of Kavana, according to Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Akiva, but let's say, according to Rabbi Akiva in all three psukim, that's mitzvahs Kavana. The balance of Kriyat Shema, says Mar Zutra, is mitzvahs Kriya. And basically, Rav Zutra is calling our attention to the two dimensions of Kriyat Shema. One is Kavala Sal Malkas Shemayim, the other is the Maisa Kriya. So as far as Maisa Kriya is concerned, we need Kiksava, and Kiksava includes all three Parshios. As far as Kavana, meaning to achieve Kavala Sal Malkas Shemayim, that we could limit until Aleph Avecha, whatever Aleph Avecha means, whether it means first two Psukim, first three Psukim. Comes along Rav Oshia, and he says no. That in truth, Aleph Avecha tells me that that's what you're required to read. Mikan v'yelech mitzvahs kavana. And I think Rav Oshia is arguing with Mar Zutra on two different points. Sigh with regard to the requirement of Kriya, and sigh with regard to the requirement of Kavana. Meaning, whereas Mar Zutra is mekil in Kavana, Rav Oshia is being machmir in Kavana. I'll explain. With regard to Kriya, whereas Rav Zutra is being machmir in Kriya, Rav Yoshi is being megal in Kriya. And there's a machlokas him in a kotza la kotza, from one extreme to the other extreme. Rav Zutra says we can whittle down Kavana to the Maisa Kavana and then pull the Chalos Kavana out, you know, that trick. And the rest, the balance of your Kriyat Shema beyond Aleph Avecha is purely Kriya. You've already fulfilled your mitzvah of Kavana with regard to the first two Psukim or the first three Psukim. Comes along Rav Oshia and he says, no. As far as Kriya is concerned, all you need is up to Aleph Avecha. And the Gemara is going to go through all his drushes and so forth and so on. The balance of Kriyat Shema, however, requires Kavana. So that means if we were to isolate or enumerate five different elements that make up Kriyat Shema, what the Rav calls the Chaluyos, right? Then according to Rav Oshia, I have to have in mind, as a Maisa Kavana, all five. How many Psukim am I reading? Only the first two or three Psukim. So it's mind-boggling. According to Rav Oshia, I can recite fulfill the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema without a recitation, just with a mental state. It means that if I have a mental state, I haven't enunciated anything beyond the first three psukim, then with that mental state, I can achieve the kavana with all its details, all the various elements and chaluyos that make up Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim. And although my kriya only extended to the first three psukim, I fulfilled my mitzvah of kabbal samach shmaya. Whereas Marzutra is of the opinion that under all circumstances I must read all three parashas, but I don't have to have those kavanos. For example, if we would assume, like Rabbi Meir, my kavana is only on the first pasuk, that engenders a kavana of all five elements of Kabbalah Salmach Shemayim, and the Kanvielch, it's mitzvah kriya. All I need is kriya.
But what are the other two elements that you're talking about?
Kabbalah Salmach Mitzvahs and Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim according to Rav Chaim. Because keep in mind that Rav Chaim holds that the reason why the Rambam omits Zechiris Yitzis Mitzrayim is because he has that included in the mitzvah of Kabbalah Salmach
Shemayim. Yeah, but then what is Kavanah's kriya mean?
Kavanas Kriya means I have to think of these elements and accept them upon myself without even reading the parashah.
It doesn't say Kavanas Kriya, it says Mrs. Kriya. You know, this is
not... Well, no, I was talking about Rav Oshia. You talking about Rav Oshia or Marzutra?
Oh,
I'm sorry. You're in Marzutra. Okay, I'm sorry. I gave you an answer that wasn't that didn't correspond to your question.
But Marzutra doesn't fully agree with Rabbi Akiva because he holds it that the odd kind.
Correct, but that again is I think that's a side point. Meaning that's just a, you know, technical question as to whether Alav Avecha means you have to kavana of the first three psukim or Alav Avecha means the first two psukim. You're right, but I'm just saying in theory I could certainly apply the logic of Rav Zutra to Rabbi Meir. And therefore I can paskin like Rabbi Meir that I only need kavana on the first pasuk and accept that mikan v'yelech mitzvah kriya. And that's, I think, exactly what we were talking about before, Yechiel. That's the way kriya tshma operates halacha l'maisa. Okay, let's go on. Now,
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Rav Yoshi said that we're talking about the five elements. But if Rav Yoshi holds that ad kan mitzvah kriya, whether he holds it's the first two psukim or the first three psukim,
right?
Then for him the only kavanah I have to have is on mitzvahs and kriya and yitzias mitzrayim. How could he possibly?
Well, also old mitzvahs and also Talmudo, whatever it is.
No, if he holds ad kan is ad kan ad bechlal. So the first three psukim, which include yichud, ava, and limud, you don't have to have kavanah at all. It's just it's kriya. So you need, the only thing you need to be kind. This is the whole mitzvah of kabbalah shel shemayim is mitzvahs and mitzvahs right.
That I can't accept. But you're right. I mean, in the words, it sounds like it. But that I can't justify. You know, I can't make any sense out of that.
No,
right, Rabbosai, give me a few minutes because if we're on a roll over here, I have something very exciting to share with you. Okay, then. The Gemara says here in the Hemshich Hasugya Adaf Yigimam Beis. That Alav Avecha is Ba'amida. What does that mean? So the Gemara explains that what this means is that at a certain point I have to stand in my place. What does that mean, Ba'amida? So Rashi points out, Afilu Beis Hillel Di Amri Oskim B'molachton V'korin, even according to Beis Hillel, later on, who is Makil, and he says that you're in the middle of cutting down, you know, fruits from the tree, and all you have to do is recite Kriyat Shema. However, Mahalchin V'korin, if you're walking, Modim Heim Shetzarch Lamod B'Mokom Echad, that at some point you must stand. Ad HaMikra Azeh Lufisha ad kan mitzvahs kavana. Let me explain what I think Rashi is saying over here. The mitzvah kavana requires amida. Halicha is antithetical to kavana. So at what point must I stop in a state of amida in order to fulfill my mitzvah of Kavana, because as we said before, Kavana is antithetical to Halicha. And at what point can I continue walking and I don't have to stop dead in my tracks? Says Rashi, Ad kan mitzvah Kavana. It depends where your mitzvah Kavana takes you. So for example, according to Rabbi Meir, how long would I have to stand in one place? Just for the first pasuk. According to Rabbi Eliezer, how long would I have to stand in one place? First two psukim. According to Rabbi Akiva, how long would I have to remain standing in my place? The first three psukim. If you take a look at Tosfos, Alev Avecha Ba'amida, he says the following, V'chein Halacha, D'mahalich B'derech, if he's on the road, Mitzvah Lamod B'Pasuk, what's the next word? Rishon. Why? Because we pass him like whom? Like Rabbi Meir. Ubin and Kavan and Pasuk Rishon Levad. V'chein Isa B'Tanchuma, Rabbi Yehuda, B'Shem, Shmuel, Omar, Asul, Kabbalah of Mocha, Shkshu Mahalech. The kavanah of Kabbalah Sol Machshmaim is antithetical, is undermined by Halicha, Eliyamud V'Yikra. Ukshiagil V'Yahavta, Yelech L'Darko. He could continue on his way, and he doesn't have to remain in that standing position. Why? Because we paskin like Rabbi Meir, and you only need kavanas kabbalas ol malchus shemayim on the first pasuk. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Everything's wonderful. Okay. Now take a look at the Ravid. The Rosh quotes the Ravid, and he says the following: that even though we paskin like Rabbi Meir, that you need kavana only on the first pasuk, as far as Amid is concerned, he's going to have to stand until Alev Avecha, meaning for the balance of the parsha. And why? Because if he is walking, says the Ravid, that's called Kriyas Aroi. And we're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema, a Kriyas Aroi. And that is derived by the sugya in Masechta Yuma, Daf Yud Tes Amud Beis, from Psukim. For example, if you're Romeis Bienov in the middle of Kriyat Shema, that makes your Kriya into Kriyas Aroi. And the Gemara establishes that you're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema into Kriyas Aroi. V'chein, says the Ravid, not just Remizas Einayim constitutes or converts your Kriya into Aroi, but also Amida, if you don't have Amida, but rather Halicha, then your Halicha is an Amidas Aroi. Excuse me, is a Kriyas Aroi. And therefore, what you need is Amida, says the Ravid, for the entire section of three Psukim, up until Al Levavecha. In fact, the Ravid would really extend it beyond that. It's just that the Pasuk says, Ubelechtecha Baderech. And since the Pasuk says, Ubelechtecha Baderech, Alma, that from that point and on, you're allowed to be a Korei Umahalech, even because the Pasuk says, Ubelechtecha Baderech. But up until Ubelechtecha Baderech, which means the entire parsha, basically, the way we've interpreted it in the context of the three-way machlokas tanoim, requires amida, because otherwise it transforms your kriya into what? Kriya saroi. Notice, the Ravid is operating with the following equation. Kriya behalicha equals kriya saroi. Kriya saroi is unacceptable. And therefore the Ravid says that even though we paskin like Rabbi Meir, that kavana is only required on the first pasuk, nevertheless amida is required up until the words belechtecha baderech, which allows me to continue on my road. But up until that point, I have to be in a state of amida. Let's summarize and then analyze the machlokas here between Rashi and Tosfos on the one end and the Ravid on the other. Rashi and Tosfos identify Amida as a requirement of what? Kavana. Halicha is antithetical to Kavana. And therefore both Rashi and Tosfos assume that if we paskin like Rabbi Meir, then Amida is going to extend up until but not beyond the first pasuk. If we paskin like Rabbi Eliezer, then Amida is going to be required up until but not beyond the second pasuk. If we require Rabbi Akiva, then Amida is required throughout. Because Amida equals Kavana, Kavana equals Amida. Once you've completed your requirement of Kavana, then Halicha is acceptable. The Ravid on the other hand says no. No, even though we paskin like Rabbi Akiva, and the requirement of like Rabbi Meir, and the requirement of Kavana is limited to the first pasuk, nevertheless, Amida is required way beyond the first pasuk. Why? Because otherwise, my Kriya is a Kriya Saroi. Rabosai, if that be the case, what is the machlokas between Rashi and Tosfos on the one hand and the Ravid on the other?
What is the difference?
Well, with my kavana on Yichud Hashem has to be chal on something, it can't be chal on the Kriya, right? It has to be chal on the regular.
Excellent. Let me try to explain what you just said. According to Rashi and Tosfos, the halach, the requirement of Amida, is a requirement in the Maisa Kavana. According to the Ravid, the requirement of Amida is in the Chalos Kavana. Meaning, according to all the Tanoim, the Chalos Kavana extends and includes all three psukim in order to achieve the three dimensions, the three elements of Kabbalah, Sol, Malcha, Shemayim. The Machlokas, the three-way Machlokas, is only as far as the Maisa Kavan is concerned. Rashi and Tosfos understand that the requirement of Amidah is a Tanai in what? In the Maisa Kavana. Therefore, to the extent to which I require Maisa Kavana, I require Amida, nothing less will do. Halicha is antithetical to the Maisa Kavana. Whereas the Ravid understands that the requirement of Amida is Halach in the Chalos Kavana. The Chalos Kavana extends beyond the first Pasuk, even according to Rav Meir, to incorporate the second Pasuk and the third Pasuk, so that I have a Chalos Kavana, not just with regard to Yichud Hashem, but also that incorporates Avas Hashem and Talmudo. Is Memela in any of these three Chalosim, I need an Amida, and Halicha is antithetical to that Chalos.
What are they going to do with Mahar Sutra? And that you also have to have the Yetzias Mitzrayim and so forth, because before they get to that, it says of Alech B'Kaladera, which gives you the shoes to walk. So therefore, it seems like it destroys.
That's only as far as the first parsha is concerned. Then we'll have the Lech B'Kaladera, the second parsha. Now you're asking about the third parsha.
Yeah.
So Enochinami, the Lech B'Kaladera only works within its own parsha, and any kriya which is Biderach Aroi and requires the Chalos Kavana,
you'd have to stop.
Correct.
Because he walks.
And Rabosai, if this is correct, then perhaps that would shed a light on another issue, and that's Yashen. Take a look at the Sugya of Yashen. And here, we have a question as to at what point do you have to wake up a person? Oh, wait a minute. You know what? I jumped the gun. Let's talk about Umnan for a minute. Okay, the guy is working up on the top of the tree and he's cutting down his dates. And the question is, can he read Kriyat Shema on the top of the tree over there? Correct? So if you turn to page 2... Correct, page 2 if you have. Oh, I just wanted to show you on page 1. That's again, I'm sorry, I'm a little bit disjointed here. The Rambam on page 1 says, Mishoy Mahalich al Raglov, Omeid Beposuk Rishon, Vashar Korei Vahu Mahalich. Is Dr. Rambam is like whom? No, that's for sure, but in the Machlokas Rishonim, between Rashi and Tos and the Ravid, he's like Rashi and Tos, meaning the Rambam understood that Mahalich is antithetical to the Maisa Kavana, and if there's no requirement of the Maisa Kavana beyond the first Pasuk, therefore the Rambam holds that you only require Amida on the first Pasuk. Good.
Is that right? It's only found in the Rush, because it's not on the Rambam.
No, I don't know why he didn't repeat himself on the Rambam. That I can't tell. Alright. Now take a look at the Mishnah later on in Masech the Brachas. The Mishnah says, Ha'umnin korin barasha ilan u'barasha nidbach alma lo boy kavan v'minu ha'korish matzok shichavin eslibo omoy hachi omar avsheshes v'hu shebetelemi malachtom v'korin v'atanya rabbi beisil omrim oskim v'malachtom v'korin. So we have a theory here between the interpretation of the Mishnah according to Rav Sheshes, that he's got to be mevatel from his malacha and terminate his malacha or take a break in his malacha in order to recite Kriyat Shema, whereas the Braisa says in the name of Vesel, let him continue being osik b'malacha and read Kriyat Shema. Lo kasha ha b'perek rishon ha b'perek sheni. Rabosai, what do you notice that's odd about this sugya? Yeah, what was up is Perek Rishon? Where did Perek Rishon come to be? And let's look at the Rambam. Back on page 1. The Rambam says, Misha Haya Oseg, page 2, Bimalacha, Mafsik Ad She Yikra Parsha Rishona Kula. V'chein umnin b'teirim v'lachtum parashim rishona k'dei shelo tia kriyosan aroi v'ashar kori k'darkov yosik v'malacha. It's the chapella. When it comes to Amida, the Rambam in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel requires Amida only for what? Pasuk Rishon. When it comes to Haya Oskim B'Malachton, and what kind of Afsuk do you require from that Asik B'Malach, the Rambam requires that he be Mafsuk for the entire Parashat Rishona. I don't get it. The Rambam should have been consistent. If the Rambam holds, as he does, in Perek Beis Halacha Aleph, of Hilchos Kriyat Shema, like Rabbi Meir, that the requirement of Kavana, it extends only to the first pasuk, and therefore the Rambam is consistent that he requires omed amida in the first pasuk and only in the first pasuk. Why then does the Rambam Halacha Dalet in the same chapter require that he be mevatel mimalachto for the entire first parasha? No, who's going to tell me the answer? But give me the answer that I want you to say. Exactly. That here, the halach is in the chalos. That the chalos Kriyat Shema extends for the entire parsha. And Rabbi Meir never denied that. Rabbi Meir's own chiddush was only in the Maisa Kavanah, but the chalos. The Rambam holds that the Esek B'Malacha is antithetical to the chalos. You can't have a chalos kavolas o malchus shemayim and at the same moment be osek b'malachto. And which two words in the Rambam give that up? Where does he, like, so to speak, reveal the secret? What does he say? Kidei shalot tehei kriyasan aroi. Just like we saw in the Raivin, that the Raivin holds halicha is antithetical to a kriyas keva, and it generates a kriyas aroi. And therefore the Raivin says that even though we pass like Rabbi Meir as far as kavanah and prosecution sufficient, nevertheless, you have to stop it dead in your tracks for the entire first parish, because otherwise the halos kavanah can't be generated. And why not? Because it becomes a chalos aroi, and the Torah doesn't allow you to have a chalos aroi. So too the Rambam accepts the conceptual breakthrough of the Raivin, but only as far as umnin sha'oskim b'malachtam is concerned. The Rambam holds that halicha is not antithetical to a kriyas keva, but oskim b'malachtam, where he's totally focused on his malacha, and he doesn't have the ability to take a break. Such a person is mufka of a kriyas keva, meaning it doesn't even lend itself to a chalos kriyas keva. The chalos is now a kriyas aroi. Beautiful, no? Except that now we have to study the sugya of shena. What happens if a person is asleep? And do we wake him up? And the answer is that we do have to wake him up. But for what? Okay. Oh, for what do we have to wake him up? So if you take a look in the Rambam, okay, I'm missing something here on my page, but hopefully I'll find it. The Rambam says in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel, which is on the bottom of your page 1, Hayyoshen. Mitzarin oso umeirin oso ad sheyikra posuk rishon umikan vielich im anasoso shena. He's overwhelmed by sleep. Ein mitzarin oso. We don't wake him up. That's the Rambam shita. Now, in order to appreciate the chiddush of the Rambam, we have to see.
But he's not saying anything. We're not talking about
Where's the chavos?
He's not saying anything. He's asleep.
Right. So maybe if you take a look at the Shita Mekubetzes, which is on the bottom of your page 2, he seems to learn that we wake him up for the first pasuk to have kavanas kriyat shema, but certainly he's going to recite the balance of Kriyat Shema. And this comes back to Yechiel's question from before. Okay? Now, take a look at the sugya. Okay, in the middle of page 2. Do you see where it says Torah Rabbanon? And that's the sugya of Rebbe's Kabbalas Ol Malchus Shemayim, correct? So then, at the end of that sugya, it says, Omer Av Ila, Mishmei Derav, Omer, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkech, Venenas B'Sheina, Yotza. Amalei Rav Nachman Lidaru Avdei B'Psuka Kama Tzaron Tvei Lo Titzaron. So here we have a Machlokas Rishon. All the Rishon, with the exception of the Rambam, learn that we have to bother him on the first Pasuk in order to guarantee that he has Kavonas, Kavolas Ol Malchus Shemayim on the first Pasuk. And then he could be in this state of half awake, half asleep, as he recites almost in his sleep, you know, he's a sleepwalker, the balance of Kriyat Shema. The Rambam, on the other hand, is quite clear. The Rambam says, again, going back to the Rambam at the beginning, at the bottom of page 1, the Rambam says, Mitzaren oso achiyigra posuk rishon, mikam v'yelech v'nasoso shina e mitzaren oso. The Rambam is talking about a person who's sleeping. So this is unreal. We have now a major breakthrough. And this is going to, I think, be the opening to the sugya of Remi. Namely, that you possibly could have a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema in a case in which you only read the first pasuk. Because the Rambam says that if it onso shena, we don't have to be mitzarehim. All we need him is to be mitzarehim in order to repeat, to recite the first pasuk. And that's exactly what we have in Revi, in the middle of page 2. Tanu Rabbanon, Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, Zu Kriyat Shema Shel Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi. That's unbelievable. Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi only has the first pasuk. So there are different shittas as to why Rebbe didn't recite the entire Kriyat Shema. Some say, this is in Rabbeinu Yonah, that it's based on the Braisa later on. The Braisa says, Chaverim Shayu Oskim B'Torah, Mafsikin LeKriyat Shema, V'Ein Mafsikin LeTfilah, that there's halacha that someone who's involved in learning, Rebbe's involved in learning, and therefore he has to be Mafsik for Kriyat Shema. However, not everybody agrees to that. The Yerushalmi, we've seen this on numerous occasions, quotes from Shim Bar Yochai, who says that he's not moda that he has to be mafsik for Kriyat Shema. And the Yerushalmi says, what's the reason for Shim Bar Yochai? Zeshinin v'zeshinin, and vatlin shinin v'neshinin. Meaning that if you're involved in Torah study, you don't have to be mavatel for the sake of Torah study. Which means that, according to Rav Shim Bar Yochai, how do we define Kriyat Shema? It's Talmud Torah. So if it's Talmud Torah, I don't have to be masked for Talmud Torah in order to read Talmud Torah. Oh, so again, let's go back to our Shtickle Torah based on the Rav's presentation here. That according to Rav Meir, you need Kavana b'Pasuk Rishon. But that Kavana is Chal with regard to all three elements. So when Rebbe stopped in the middle of his learning to recite the first pasuk of Kriyat Shema, his Kavana for Yichud Hashem was Chal with regard to all three elements. Now, says Rabbi Meir, says Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi, so what do I have to do now? I have to stop my learning and recite the balance of Kriyat Shema? Why? Zeshinin v'zeshinin. There's no need to do so. Meaning, remember Yechiel, we spoke about two dimensions of Kriyat Shema. One is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim, and the rest is Kriya. What is that Kriya according to Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi? That Kriya is a Kiyum of Shinun. And the Nafkamina is, if that Kriya is a Kiyum Shinun, then I don't have to stop my Talmud Torah for the sake of Shinun, because Zeshinin v'zeshinin. Wait a minute. Elo, what did Rabbi Meir do? Like, what did Rabbi Yehuda HaNasi do? He only stopped for the first pasuk. Wait a minute, I don't get it. If you tell me Zeshinin v'zeshinin, why do you have to stop for the first pasuk? The answer is because the first pasuk is a different mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah of Shinun. It's a mitzvah of Kabbalah Soma.
Yeah, but you still have the problem with the Rambam's.
You know, the trouble with you, Alan, is you don't let me enjoy a good shtickle tear.
No, that's good. It's nothing to do with that. You just haven't finished yet. Because the Rambam Paskin is that if they're working, standing on the limb there, that they have to stand still for, they have to...
First parsha.
For the whole parsha.
Right.
So had to shiver.
Well, what does that have to do with us?
Wait a second, but yet, what, he's going to go to sleep, but he's, you wake him up only for the first pasuk, and then you let him go back to sleep.
So, wait a second, 1 second. Are we talking about Oskim B'Malacha, or are we talking about sleep?
I'm talking about both.
Okay, so 1 second.
About the difference in the
okay, topic. So wait a minute. Let's go slowly. my first question to you is, Rav Yehuda Hanasi. Rav Yehuda Hanasi read one pasuk of Kriyat Shema. How could he not recite the balance of Kriyat Shema?
I don't have a problem with it. You said Klar. You said very Klar.
Okay, so let's enjoy the Klarkite.
Okay.
Number one, because Zeshinin v'Zeshinin. Rav Yehuda Hanasi, we don't, you see, my point is, we don't have to come on to the whole Shtikl Torah of the Rush. The Rush, if you see third source beyond it, he says that Rebbe is in a different status. Why? Because he's not learning himself, he's teaching Torah Barabbas.
Yeah, yeah.
Forget about that. I don't need the Rush. Right. All I need is Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai. Because Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai in the Yerushalmi tells me Zeshinin v'Zeshinin. Oh, so now I ask you the following question. If Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi was parted from Kriyat Shema, because Ein Mafsik in Zeshinin v'Zeshinin, why did he stop for the first pasuk?
Because you just come up with your mind, which is a different category. That's fine. That's fine. But now...
That's all I said.
Let's go back to the real people now. Not Rebbe. Or somebody that's corrupt.
You mean the regular people? Like you and me?
Yeah, the people
okay.
But like me, that's from us. The point is right here, the Rambam makes a clear distinction between a poel that's up on a limb there, and he has to stop and say Kriya Shema, and he requires him to stop what he's doing and to say the whole first parsha, but if he's asleep, you wake him up, he says Shema Yisrael, and he lets him go back to sleep again. So why is not?
So I'll tell you exactly what it is. In the case of Umnin, there's no reason why we can't require him to read the whole parsha. Ella what? You're going to tell me that this halacha of hafsaka bittel esek malachto, the Rambam says that as far as that halacha is concerned, what do we require? We require the entire parsha, because otherwise it's a kriyas aroi, meaning the halacha of oskim b'malachton is mafkia the parsha from the chalos kavana, and the chalos kavana extends to the entire parsha.
And what about Shema?
Now you're asking about Shema. There, he can't read the whole parsha. Why? Because Anso Shema.
So?
Wait a minute. So Anso Shema means that at this point, he's potter from the mitzvah. Oh. Here the Rabbanan made the following distinction. I'm going to activate and apply the tour of Anso Shena with regard to the second element of Kriyat Shema, but not with regard to the first. Meaning, the Rambam holds the following, that with regard to Kabbalas Ol Malchu Shamayim, which according to the Rambam you could fulfill with what? With the first pasuk, and through the recitation of the first pasuk, and your kavana, your maisa kavana on Yichud Hashem, there's a chalos on what? On Avas Hashem and Talmud Hashem. You now have the complete package of Kabbalah Sol Mokshma. For that, we're going to wake you up. But we don't have to wake you up for the kiyum of Kriya Shema as Kriya B'Torah's Parshios.
See, I wanted to learn a slightly different thing. I wanted to say that, just as the Rambam said in Reb Meir, that when you say the first pasuk and Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim includes also Avas Hashem and Kudo.
Right.
If you say nothing after that, you blind with the complete mitzvah according to Reb Meir. On the other hand,
the complete mitzvah of Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. And Reb Meir is not alleviating you from reading three parshas.
I mean, right. From it. But on the
Rambam holds all three parshas so d'oraisa.
Everybody holds it, right. So what I'm saying is that if you say, you go on and you say the second parsha and the third parsha, then what you're doing is you are being saying befrat, what you said bechlal before in Reb Meir. And if you do it with kavana, you understand what you're doing, and you're not misaseg, or you're not whatever, then you've fulfilled the thing. But if you don't do that and you're asleep, at least you haven't negated what you've done in the first part. If you're asleep, you have said nothing, so you're blind with the general acceptance of Avas Hashem and Talmud Hashem. Enoch Hinami, you have to be Mefarim, but you can't able to do that, but so you can't able to do it.
I don't know if there's any difference between what you're saying and what I'm saying. What we're both saying is that there are two elements in Kriyat Shema, correct?
No, what I'm saying, the only thing I'm trying to say is that if you are doing your work meanwhile you're doing that, it has an element of negative kavana, so to speak. It takes away from what you said before about Avas Hashem
and Torah. So if at the same time you are not paying attention to what you're doing because you're working, so that's similar to a negative kavanah, and it sort of takes away what's
a negative kavanah? The sleeping?
No, the working.
The working.
The working. So it's a negative kavanah. So even though.
So what? It undermines your kabbalah shamayim.
Shamayim. But on the other hand, if you're asleep, it does, at least it's not a negative kavanah. You will makabo what you makabo. You may owe al salacha to say
But I'm not sure what compels you to say this. I mean, I think
this is a clear distinction. The Rambam is saying why you don't keep him awake for the sleeping person. Why don't you make him stay awake and say the second part of the second parsha?
Well, why were we forced to say the Rambam doesn't hold like the sheep in the cross? It's the same story. What the Rambam means is we're not that the onus means he doesn't have to kavanah, he has to have kriya. And it's
no, Rambam says on soso shena means he's asleep.
So why wake him up?
So wake him up to say we're not.
We don't have to wake him up because he was mekayim at least the element of kabbalah sol matran. Just like we saw in Rebbe, that Rebbe holds that if you mekayim that element of kabbalah sol matran through the kavanah and the chalos kavanah of pasuk rishon, we don't have to recite the balance of kriyat shema. The kriya element of kriyat shema is suspended for the sake of Talmud Torah, Zeshin and Vezeshin, and all that we discussed. So too in the case of Ansoso Shena, we're going to also require that Kabbalah Sol Moshmaim has to have. There's no tour of Kabbalah Sol Moshmaim despite the fact that he's in a state of Shena. We're going to have to wake him up. But as far as Kriya is concerned, that's already a secondary element, and that's not on the same, you know, the same level.
Let me ask you this. I think that the I could be wrong, that what compelled the sheep of Kubetz to learn the way he did is because, as we said before, that even Rav Meir holds, I can't be Nakai in my Kabbalah Sol Moshmaim unless I have a Maisa Kriya on the other two things. I can have all the Kabbalah on one, but if I don't say the actual words, I lost my Kabbalah Sol Moshmaim. So therefore the idea is, what am I waking up for? To at least say the words, because the Kabbalah you have in the first place is useless.
Right.
But now, and what we thought the Rambam would agree with that in learning Rav Meir. That we thought he understood it. But now we're saying Mashiach, he says no. It's right. Possible to say the first blessing and not even say the words of Yosef. Listen, how can it be so steal the Rambam? That's so why can't we say that the Rambam holds like Shiloh Gomentis? Then again, honest that I won't make you have Kavanah.
No, but again, I don't understand. Why can't you just say the following, you feel? That the Rambam is different in the sense that he understands that Kavanah, with all its three elements, is a self-contained unit or entity that I can achieve in the first pasuk.
But then
I have to have kriya for that.
And from now I need kriya. That's a whole different mitzvah. That's a mitzvah of kriya. And we define kriya in a way that it fits into the general rubric of all mitzvahs, and therefore on Soso Shein is part of from all mitzvahs. Like, for example, we don't have to wake up a person.
I prove why that's not good. That's because the Rambam showed us that you can't have a kriya right. Why would you need anything better than a kriya right?
You mean the case of Ubnin?
Yeah, right, exactly.
That's
what that is that destroys your...
No, so now we're saying a little differently than we said before, that you need that the halacha of Kriyas Aroy, according to the Rambam, applies throughout the entire Kriya. Meaning, Kriyas Aroy, not the way we said it before, is a requirement in Kriya. If it's not a Kriya, you know, right, there are two elements of Kriya Shema. There's Kabbalah Sol Moshmaim and there's the Kiyum Kriya. What we're saying now is that Kriyas Aroy is antithetical to Kriya. Not the way we said it before. And therefore the Umnun, in order to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya, will have to stop for the entire balance of the parsha.
Why is this Kriya Aroy?
But then you have to ask me about the second parsha and the third parsha.
Yeah, it's Kriya, yeah, right. Obviously.
Right. So let me work that. That far I didn't get. You know.
Okay. Why isn't that answered? But by the way, I wanted to learn it. But if you want to learn it, then it destroys the original Kabbalah.
That what his askus boomness? You're saying?
Yes.
That's negative.
That's
you're
right.
saying?
It's negative.
Well, why is it negative?
Because I don't know. The fact that he's osek, and what is kriyas aroy? Who ever heard of such a shita?
Wait a minute. I don't understand something, Alan. What's worse, working or sleeping? I don't know. You know?
Working is worse.
Why? Why is working? I think working is a lot more productive and creative than sleeping.
No, but I'm not. Well, that's not true. Not because if you sleep.
This is like the Dobie Gillis show over here. It work?
But the mice is that you're saying Kriya Shema while you're working, is, in a sense, a denial to some extent of that which you're saying while you're working. Because you don't hold the chashivas is the same chashivas that it should really have. And because of that, because it's a Kriyas Aroi, you made it into a Kriyas Aroi, you have reduced. You reduce the chashivas of the first pasuk when you had.
So I have two students sitting in my class. One is sleeping, right, and the other is doing.
He,
what?
He's talking.
He's talking. He's doing business. I don't know who's worse. I don't know.
Talking is worse.
I'm not sure. At least he's doing something that justifies that he's not listening. The guy is sleeping. I want to throw him out.
No, he's not free of the one that's.
So you remind me of the story. I wasn't there, so I can't vouch for the story. But somebody yawned in the Rav Shia, so he started yelling. He says, "Do I bug you?"
No, seriously.
When I was a Rosh Yeshiva in Vaseret, I once said to the Hanalav, the intern charge of the finances, they should pay me an extra salary. Like I saved the guy's sleeping pills. You know?
Okay.
All right, so let's see if we. I want to go back to the drawing board just to iron out this business about the umnin. The Rambam says only the first parsha, correct? Let's just make sure that we have the right language in the Rambam here. Just one second.
Yeah,
can you read it? I put it away for a second. But. Yeah, Parsha Rishon. Yeah, he says Parsha Rishon. So that's strange, because if we're saying now that it's Mafkia the Kriya, then it should apply to all three parshas. Rambam holds all three parshas, said the Raisa. Ella, what? It's Mafkia the Kavana. So if it's Mafkia Kavana, that's because the Chalos Kavana has to be related to the balance of the entire first parsha. No, if that be the case, then how is he going to get away with Shaina? Unless we go with Yechiel, that maybe that he does. That's not what the Rambam means. You can take a look. Do you have the Frankel edition of the Rambam in front of you? So open up, if you don't mind, to Perek Beis Halacha Gimel in the Frankel in the back. Yeah, you know how to get to the Sefer Mafteach in the back, and take a look in Perek Beis Halacha Gimel Vilchus Kriyat Shema, what he says on the words. Im anasaso shena, im itzarino. So, which I assume means he's allowed to remain sleeping. I hope I'm not crazy. That's how I read the Rambam. But then we're left with a stira in the Rambam. Okay, so we have to iron that out.